Okay, so I started the recording. I know I'm a few seconds early, I think. Just review where we left it up yesterday is that the Torah says that you're mechuyev to lend the guy money before Shemitah and not worry about the fact that Shemitah cancels the loan. And what happened was people didn't adhere to it. So Hill came up with a takana. Now there's many, many shitas in the Rishayim. We are going to be learning Rashi Shita. So again, I want to make it clear that not everybody agrees to Rashi, but instead of confusing people with multiple different shitas, we'll stick to Rashi's shot. So we're going to start the Gemara. Hill tikkun principal, hiskun principal. That is on Lamed Vav and Aleph, about 18 lines in the bottom, the beginning of the line, Hill hiskun principal. Tan Hassam, we learned over there. Principal and the Mishamet. A principal is not Mishamet. It keeps the loan from slipping away. I don't know a better translation. It does. It keeps the loan from being voided. Rashi, Eina Mishamet. Mi'acha shekas the principal, Eina Mishamet chayve b'shvias. Rashi's explaining what it means. Writing the principal keeps the loans from being voided at the end of Shemitah. The Echad min Advarim, by the way, I'll just take a moment to cover another issue. The Torah writes that Mikay Sheva Shonim Tasr Shemitah, at the end of 7 years, you do the Shemitah. Vezed Var HaShemitah, Shomet Koba Mashi Yodoy, everybody loses their loans. And then it says, Lo Yigos Esher Eyu Vesochiv, do not collect from your friend and your brother, because Shemitah has been called to Hashem. So the Pashit, most place can hold, that Shemitah is Mishamet at the end of Shemitah, which means the coming era of Rosh Hashanah will be the time that all loans are voided. All loans are voided at the end of the coming Rosh Hashanah. At the era of Rosh Hashanah, right by Shia. That's what most Mishayim hold. That's the way we bask it. The Rosh has a Chumrah. The Rosh says he's bothered by the fact that the Pasuk says, Mikayt Shev Hashanah Tazer Shemitah. But then at the end of the pasuk it says, "Vayigas Israel v'Achiv, do not collect from your friends and your brother, ki kara shmita l'Hashem, for shmita has been called." That seems to indicate that as soon as you begin shmita, you can't collect the loans. At the beginning of the pasuk says, "Miketz shavashadim shasu shmita." At the end of the 7 years, you should make shmita. Therefore, the rush comes with a novel approach and says that there's two parts to shmita. The prohibition to collect, and then when the loans are automatically voided. Dr. Rush, the issue to collect starts at the beginning of Shemitah. Therefore, as soon as Shemitah began this past Rosh Hashanah, there became an issue to collect your loans. However, if the guy offers to pay you, you are allowed to accept it. Once Shemitah is over, you have to tell him that the loan is voided. He has to offer it a second time for you to accept it. Therefore, some people started writing two principles. Chabad is very makbar on it because the Rav Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rosh, and they write a principle at the beginning of Shemitah, meaning Erev Rosh Hashanah of last year, to take care of the issue of collecting, and then they write one again at the end of this year to now void the loans because the principle only works on previous loans. I can't write a principle for a future loan. So therefore, the principle in Erev Rosh Hashanah is to take care of all the loans before last year, before the beginning of this year, Tav Shin Pei Beis, and the principle at the end of this year will be to take care of the loans made during the year. So as people get more, I don't know what you want to call it, frumer, or more makbid on things, more and more people started writing this second principle. When I was a bachur in yeshiva, nobody ever dreamed of it. But now, it's past Erev Rosh Hashanah, there were a whole bunch of people that were being makbid and writing these principles. It comes from this rush. However, the Shulchan Aruch does not pass in this rush, and most Rishayim don't hold like the rush. Therefore, most people are not makbid on it. Whereas next Erev Rosh Hashanah coming up, everybody will be writing principles. Last Erev Rosh Hashanah, a minority of people did it as an extra chumrah. So I just wanted to clear that up because some people might remember that they already wrote a principle. That came about to be the Shita Sarash, who answers what he's, I mean, the Rosh is the Rosh, he's Arish, the contradiction of the Pasuk, that one Pasuk says it voided, and one Pasuk says do not collect. One Pasuk says the end, and one Pasuk says at the beginning. Therefore, that's how he learned, and therefore he answers that. But most Rishonim learn that Shemitah only kicks in at the end, and you don't have to worry about anything in the beginning. Okay, now let's move on. Zark the Gemara Tanan Hazla. Prosboy in the Mishamet. Ze'echa ben Advarim Shehiskin Hil Azakim. This is one of the things that Hil Azakim made a Takana. Shara'a Sa'am Shedimnu Melahal Vazazah. He saw people were refusing to lend each other money. The Avru Amashakasa B'Taira, and they were B'Aivar on the Pasuk in the Taira. He Shama L'cha Ben Yedavar M'Lavavcha B'Liyal. The purpose of the Takana was not to enable people to get loans. It enabled people not to transgress the Isser. He was bothered that people were refusing to lend money and they were violating a law of the Torah that says, watch yourself, perhaps you join people that don't have the yoke of Hashem on them and refuse to lend money. Amad the Hiskim Prosbo. So he made a Takana of Prosbo, and Vezeh or Google Shom Prosbo, and this is what you write in Prosbo. Meshrani Lachem Ployni Ployni Adayanim. I give you over, you do the Yanim Shemakim Ployni. Shakol Chayim Shiyak the Eitzel Ployni. Any debt that I have by somebody, by this person, that Grendel calls my spirit, that I can be able to collect it whenever I want, meaning I give it over to you, and you will empower me to collect it. As I got it, I'll tell you, this can be written either in the language of judges, or that the Adam say, we saw this guy transfer. Or did the Yadim say he transferred it to us? Now, Rashi, the concept that giving staris to Bezin allows you to collect is a rabbinic concept. Biblically, there's no such thing as giving your loans to Bezin and Bezin taking over the loans. That was Hillel's takana, that if you give the loans to Bezin, then Bezin can collect for you and in turn empower you to collect for them who you gave over the loan to collect for you. That was Hillel's takana. So Hillel instituted this takana called Mesirah Shtaris LeBezin. And it was a second step to the takana. That instead of having to actually hand over the document of the star, you can write a star saying that you're giving over your loans. Now in the Gemara, it seems to identify who the borrower is. We write a general principle for anybody that else has money. Basically saying we are giving our loans to Bezin, period. Even those that we don't have staras for, we are handing over our loans to Bezin. So Hill first instituted that there's a concept of handing loans to Bezin, but he didn't insist that you have to hand a physical document to Bezin saying, here are the loans, now handing them the actual proof of loan. He just said, you can write it down that I'm handing the loans to Bezin. And by writing down that I'm handing the loans to Bezin, it automatically becomes Bezin's loans that they empower you to collect. And that was his loophole around Shemitah. The problem is, this is not a biblical loophole. This is a rabbinic going against the Torah. There is no, according to Rashi, there's no concept of handing your staris to Bezin. There's no such concept. The whole concept of handing staris to Bezin is Hill's takana. So how did he go against the Raisa? Is going to be the Gemara's question. Now, I will mention one of the other Shitas HaRishonim that say that physically handing documents to Bezin was a biblical solution because you're not collecting. What Hill instituted is that you don't have to hand the document. You can write saying, I'm giving it over. According to those Rishonim, there was a biblical solution. Hand over your contracts to Bezin. But it was a difficult one. Not all loans have contracts. Not everybody wants to give their contract away saying that somebody owes the money. So Hill instituted Prisbo. According to those who shine them, he didn't invent the concept of giving staris to Bezin. He just said, instead of handing the physical document to Bezin, you can get away by just writing and giving it. But again, it's not recognized biblically. This is a rabbinic solution. And the Gemara's question is going to be, how does he do this when it goes against the biblical law? Rashi. But Rashi, Eina Mishamet, is the dead already. Mishrani Lechem, Eshtarazai, I'm giving my staras. Sh'atem tiyem naiksim, you should collect it. Vanila Agas, and I won't collect it. Meaning, I'll act for you. Lekam Bamuki, and Rashi's bothered right away. How in the world does Bezin have this power? And it's interesting that Rashi does not say hold your horses and let the Gemara explain. He gives you the second answer of the Gemara right away, so you should be able to proceed with the Gemara. Very usually, Rashi says, well, the Kamal Mefarish, the Gemara will ask, how does he do this? Here, Rashi seems to think that he has to give you the answer, which the Gemara will give in the Amud Beis, the second answer. Kama Mukila, the Gemara later on will say, the Eshkayach B'yadim Bavkiyam Amayinish Ozev Elitim Ozev. They have the power to take away money from one and give it to the other. The Malkam Shias Shag B'takana, whenever they feel there's a reason to make a fence and a takana. So Rashi is speaking out that it's Hefker Bez and Hefker, right here. So even though the Gemara will ask and give another answer and then say Hefker Bez and Hefker, Rashi feels that he has to tell you right away, because if not, you'll be so bothered you won't be able to proceed. Okay. Zakti Gemara Vaiter. Well, me in Kamidi, is there something, the Midaraisa Misham Tishvias, that biblically speaking, Shemitah removes the loan, the Hiskin Hill, the Lem Mishamta, and the Hill made it Takana that it should not remove the loan? Amrabaya, the Shvias Bisman Azeb, Rebbe. The Abaya says, that Shemitah Bizman Azeb is only rabbinic. And therefore, since it's only rabbinic, therefore, he can come along with a rabbinic takana against the rabbinic Shemitah. It's only a rabbinic halacha that the loans get voided. That's what Abaya says. And therefore, since it's only a rabbinic halacha that the loans get voided, he can come along in that rabbinic Shemitah and change it. But once this, if there would be a biblical Shemitah, according to Abaya, Hill would have never done it because he would not have uprooted the biblical law of Shemitah. He was uprooting a rabbinic law of Shemitah. Now, why is Shemitah Bizman Azeb Rabbanan? The Tanya. Okay, so let me explain now what Rashi learns here. Again, it's going to be a major machlokes b'shainim. We are going to learn like Rashi. The Torah has a law by Yovel that it only applies when Roiv didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, exactly the translation of that is a matter of Machlokes Mishnayim. But Rashi learns, very simply, you need a majority of Yidden, of the population of Yidden, to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's not so simple today, because as more and more Yidden move to Eretz Yisrael, and less Yidden live elsewhere, we might run into a concept that Yovel might start to be Nayig, according to Rashi. We don't have Yovel Bezman Azeb. We count Shemitah. Every seven Shemitahs is supposed to be a year of Yovel. There is no Yovel Bezman Azeb. And the reason for no Yovel Bezman Azeb is because the majority of the Yidden do not live in Eretz Yisrael. That started, according to Rashi, during the first Beis HaMikdash. At the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, about 40 years before Korban Beis HaMikdash, Sanherib came and exiled all the Jews of the Ten Shvatim. Now, there's a big question, did they come back, did they not come back? Rashi's opinion is here that a majority of them did not come back. And therefore, since they didn't come back, Yovel stopped and never started again. This is Rashi's opinion. That means throughout the end of Bayis Rishon and throughout the whole Bayis Sheni, there was no Yovel. That's how Rashi learns. Not all the Rishonim agree to this. Tosfos argues, many Rishonim argue on Rashi. But Rashi's opinion is that Yovel ended and never started again during the second Beis HaMikdash. Rashi's opinion is, based on the way he's going to learn the next Gemara, that Shemitah depends on Yovel. When there is no Yovel biblically, there is no Shemitah. The Rabbanan said, keep Shemitah even though there is no Yovel. They did not institute a rabbinic Yovel, but they instituted a rabbinic Shemitah. And therefore, Rashi learned, this is Rebbe's opinion, that Shemitah Bizman Azeh is a rabbinic thing, even during Bayis Sheni, it was rabbinic. Hillel lived in the middle of Bayis Sheni, and he lived in a time where Yovel didn't exist anymore. Therefore, Shemitah was only rabbinic. And since Shemitah was only rabbinic, it would be the whole concept of loans being voided turned from a biblical law into a rabbinic law, and again, this is Rashi's opinion. Not everybody learns the same way, but this is Rashi's opinion in Rebbe. There's Tanoim that argue. And therefore, according to this opinion, all Hill did was took the rabbinic law of Shemitah and said, I'll make up a legal loophole. And therefore, it allows him to make that legal loophole, even though he's going against Shemitah, because Shemitah is only rabbinic. Let's read it inside. The Tanya Rebbe Eimer says in the Pasuk, V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah Shamait. This is the item of Shemitah, void. Now, the Tanya puts Shemitah Shamait to tell me, B'shtei Shemitah Sakas Medaber. The Tanya is talking about two kinds of Shemitah. Acha Shemitah Karka, which Rashi understands to mean when you lose your land. Yovel used to void all sales. You sold your land, and Yovel went back to the original owner. So there's the voiding of land, the Acha Shemitah Ksavim, and there's the voiding of money. V'sman sh'atem mishamet karka, atem mishamet ksavim. V'sman sh'atem mishamet karka, atem mishamet ksavim. When Yovel is around, then there is the Shemitah of voiding loans. When there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah of money. So Rashi explains. Again, this is a matter of Machlokes Rishonim, but instead of confusing people, we learn with Rashi, so I'm sticking to Rashi's shot. Let's read the Rashi inside. Look, Rashi.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So the idea of the biblical Shemitah, the power of it is that nobody has to worry about eating during the seventh year. That's Hashem's power.
Right.
Wouldn't it be a counter argument that if Shemitah is rabbinic, the depth of that power no longer exists? It's not that the rabbis don't have power. It's a different concept now.
You're right. But at the same time, the rabbis say that we want to continue the biblical law, and therefore I don't know how their power works. You guys don't have that power. They say Hashem will give us that same blessing. That's what they're saying. They're saying, by us making this decree that Shemitah should continue, we are saying, Hashem, you have to give us the bracha as well. It's part of their extension.
Okay. I thought that's what you were going to say. It just seems to me not a dilution of that power, but I just wonder whether the populace would believe it as much. That's all.
Okay, but that's what happens. According to Rebbe, again, we're not Paschim Halacha L'maisa. We happen to Paschim that according to Moshe the Shemitah, well, the Rabbanon today, we do happen to Paschim that way. It's questionable if it's because of Yovel or is it because of another reason, but whatever reason it is, We are, it's a Machlokes Rishonim with the Shemitah was known as the derived Sidra Rabbanon. But even if it's a Rabbanon, we rely on the fact that when the Rabbanon made this, they basically said Hashem's bracha is extending. And with their power, they get to do these things.
Rebbe?
Yes, Rebbe? Rabbi Cohen. Yes.
Please don't call me Rav. But the point I want to stress is maybe this is not even Mishametes midoraisa because Bezdin's doing it. I thought we said yesterday it's Tully with that lo yigosh, whatever that pasuk is.
I'm trying to figure out
why is the Gemara saying midoraisa mishametes? Maybe it's not because it's not you collecting it. It's Bezdin.
Again, I started off this so you're saying that Rashi's opinion is there's no biblical exclusion for Bezdin collecting the loan. That's what I started off saying. The Arishayim, again, I'm learning Rashi. Rashi holds that invented the concept that Lo Yigosh doesn't apply to when Bezdin is collecting your loan. That was Hill's invention.
That they should be the egos, not me.
Right, so someone else. That's so maybe it's not Hashem.
Again, you're arguing on Rashi. Rashi says that biblically speaking, you're right. There are Rishonim that say that if others that Bezdin collects your loan, it's not included. But Rashi doesn't learn that way. Rashi learns that the concept that Bezdin can collect your loan and it doesn't go into the Yisra because it's your loan and Bezdin's collecting it for you biblically would not make a difference. It's only rabbinic. We're learning Rashi.
Hey, but when it says Mi'ika Midi, The midoraisa mishametes. So how do you learn that?
Because the Rashi doesn't agree that biblically Bezin can collect your loan. You decided that Bezin is not included in the answer. Rashi holds they are. It's your loan. What difference does it make if you ask Bezin to do it for you? What if you would ask Baruch Meisher to collect your loan? All of a sudden, that's mutter. Can you ask somebody else, not Bezin? What if you walk over to somebody and you say, can you please collect my loan for me? It's no isser.
Who gets the egos then? The
guy who empowered somebody to collect his loan. If somebody asks you to collect their loan, you're doing it as an agent for them. They are over the answer. If you'll tell me it's I'm not going to get involved. But there's no such thing as anybody collecting the loan after Shemitah. The loan's voided. Shemite, it's gone. According to Rashi's opinion throughout Shas, again, this is a matter of Machlokes Rishonim. But Rashi's opinion throughout Shas is, Hill decided that if you have a Bezin do it for you, and you give over your loans to Bezin, and they're really collecting it on their own, and they're empowering you to collect it for them and give it back to you, that's not Ivor. That's a Drabonon Hill's invention, according to Rashi. Other Rishonim disagree. They say if you give it to Bezin and Bezin collects it, it's not a biblical problem. They learn the problem is that you're not actually handing the loan to Bezin. You're not transferring your star. You're not doing anything. You're just saying to Bezin, collect my loans. You're not giving them the loan. According to those Rishonim, if you hand the star to Bezin, you wouldn't need a prosecutor. That would work biblically. But Hill made a takana that you don't need that. So again, I don't want to mix them. I don't want to get people confused. We're sticking to Rashi's top. Dr. Rashi, the Hiskin held with the Shtamit v'akadavim in the Torah. He uprooted something from the Torah. The Shvias is not as that. The Hill Krebi Shvirli. Hill holds a Krebi. The Amar Shvias l'ashmatas nova b'zman azed rabbanonu. That Shemitah is only for canceling loans. It's only drabbanon. Meaning, not necessarily for the work of the fields, but for the loans, it's rabbinic. Why? The Avah got the Hilba by Shein Yavo. Even though Hilba was in the second base of Mikdash, and, right, the Chayra, why in the world did Shemitah not apply the second base of Mikdash? Svir Lei Labaya, the Babaya Sheini, Hayavu Lahay Yavu Nayak. Yavu was not Nayak, and the reason Yavu was not Nayak is because that most of the Shvatim did not live in Eretz Yisrael. So Leinogu Shmitim in the Raisa. That's Abaya hold. The Minim Be'erchen, in Erchen, the Gemara says, Manu Yaivlus Lekadi Shmitim. Count the Yaivlus so you know what Shmitah is. Midrabon and Kamar. That's rabbinic. That's how Rashi translates Rebbe. The Kamina Mitzasi Mitamidi Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi Shekasa Musept is getting Yerushalmi. Right? I found this, that Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi quotes it from a Yerushalmi. Interesting, the Rashi did not say he saw the Yerushalmi. He says that Rabbeinu Yitzchak's Tamidim wrote that in Yerushalmi it says, Minai Shein HaShmita Nehegis Elam Esman Sheyevu Laig, Shenemar, Zed Dvar HaShmita Shomait, Acha HaShmita Sheyevu, V'acha HaShmita Shvias. Al B'Teres Kahanim Re'isi, in the Teres Kahanim it says, and that would be against this drasha. So Rashi says it's a machlokes, and Rebbe is of the opinion like Yerushalmi that Shemitah is dependent on Yevum. No Yevum by Sheni, no Shemitah by Sheni. I'm sorry?
This kind of means if Chumash V'Yikra, he's saying right from the Torah? What is Teres Kahanim?
Teretz Kahanim is Brises on Vayikra. There's Brises on Shmais, there's Brises on Vayikra, there's Brises on Bamidbar, there's Brises on Dvarim. Shmais is called Mechilta, Vayikra is called Teretz Kahanim or Sifra, and on Bamidbar Dvarim it's called Sifri. B'zman shi'ata mishamet karka, he got achshav shabat l'kedusha sa'aret. Now that kedusha sa'aret is batal, yi'ata mishamet k'sofim. V'yav ha'pish ha'shmat is k'sofim chayves ha'kofi, even though it's not land. Rashi's bothered. Land halachas can depend on land. But why in the world is that halacha that depends on you nothing to do with land? Why is that affected by Kedusha Sa'aret? The Rashi, even though it's a chayves ha'guf, it's like kosher and trains and Shabbos, v'ein a chayves ha'tliya b'aret, yafin a ma'akesh in the lay noga. Now, I just want to point out that the Beis HaLevi is bothered by Rashi. Because, and he says a pshat, that's why I'm pointing it out. Rashi starts off saying that Shemitah depends on Yovel. But then Rashi says, to an Akshav Shabbat l'Kedusha Sa'aret. That seems to talk about that there's no Kedusha Sa'aret after the Churban. So now, what does Rashi mean? Is Shemitah K'savim Batul because Churban Beis HaMikdash? Or is Shemitah K'savim Batul even doing Beis HaMikdash? Because during Beis HaMikdash is time, Eretz Yisrael had Kedusha, according to everybody, biblically, except for Yovel. Now, in the beginning of Rashi said, Shemitah depends on Yovel. Other things do not depend on Yovel. Truma, Smaistris, those are biblically Nayak. But then Rashi throws in the Bizman HaZeh, even if you don't agree that it depends on Yovel, there's no Kedusha Sa'aret. And the halacha of Shemitah's Ksavim depends on Kedusha Sa'aret as well. So really, Rashi's saying, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when Hill lived, it depended on Rebbe's comparing Shemitah to Yovel. There's not a Zer, Rashi's adding, you don't even need Shemitah to be compared to Yovel. The fact that there's no Kedusha Sa'aret means there's no biblical Shemitah automatically means there's no Shemitah's Ksavim. And that's why Rashi asks, Shemitah's Ksavim is not land-based. And he says the Torah compares the two together. So according to the Beis HaLevi, Stat and Rashi, Rashi is saying, during the time of the Beis Sheni, I needed Shemitah to be compared to Yovel. Once the Beis HaMikdash is Chorev, Shemitah anyway would be Batul, even if you don't compare it to Yovel, and therefore it wouldn't be Naig with Manazah. That's how Beis HaLevi answers, Batul Kedusha Sa'aret. Achshav meaning after the Churban. Even though Rashi before was talking during Beis Sheni, that's because Rebbe said Shemitah depends on Yovel. That was the thing. Whereas after Beis Sheni, you don't need that, the Beis HaLevi says. Automatically, Kedusha Eretz Yisrael is a buckle. I hope I explained myself well enough.
Of course, Rebbe.
Okay. Let's move on. The Tikno Rabbanim. Rabbanim were Mesaket, even though Shemitah does not apply biblically. The Tishamet, Zecher L'Shuyas, that Shemitah should function as a Zecher to what one time was. Raw Hill, Shenin Nuhamalau. So Hill said that the nation stopped lending each other money, Malau Vizazah, Hamat Vizkin Prisbel. That's the background to Prisbel going to Abaya. It was to uproot the rabbinic halacha of loans being voided. Rashi, the Amar Rabbana to Tishamit, the reason they did it is they didn't want Klal Yisrael going through a whole long gullah not remembering Shemitah, so they instituted Shemitah, and then Hill came along and made Prosbol. The Ramshef has a question here, and that is, there's a rule that we will have later on in this Gemara that says one bezin cannot uproot a bezin of higher madrega. You cannot take away something that was made by a bezin of a greater, what am I supposed to say, greater number and greater people. So Hill came along and uprooted a takana that was made by earlier Tanoim, who were bigger than him. What gave him a right? Even in rabbinic law, you can't uproot a rabbinic law that was instituted by greater people. So how could Hill come along and uproot this rabbinic Shemitah of Rhodes and allow Prisbel? Isn't he going against a previously made rabbinic law by greater people? So the Ramshif answers, he didn't remove the Shemitah. He gave a loophole. The halacha of not removing a previous takana means to come along and say, forget what they said. No more Shemitah's Ksafim. That would have been something beyond Hillel's power. He didn't do that. He said, there is rabbinic shmita. I'm going to give you a legal loophole. That's not going up against them head-to-head. And therefore, that's allowed. That's what the Ram Shiv says. It's a bit kiddish, but that's what the Ram Shiv says.
So no lower... Is it because there was an earlier Beis Din, or is it because they're greater people, or they lived at an earlier time?
The Gemara says it was they're greater people.
It's not time, meaning if because they lived at an earlier time doesn't mean they were greater, correct?
Not necessarily, but usually the earlier Tanoim were greater than the later Tanoim. I don't know who made this takana. It was made during Bayis Sheni, right? Hillel lived during Bayis Sheni. This was made prior to Hillel, this rabbinic shemitah. And Hillel came along and gave an out. So the question is, weren't those people greater than him? That's the Ram Shiv's question.
I'm saying now, Rebbe, is...
You're saying who says they were greater? I don't know. I'm just telling you what he asked. He assumes they were greater.
A person who lives during our time, like Rebbe, can you say something against Reb Moshe?
I'd be a fool.
No, but is it because you're living in a generation, or is it because
I'm not so smart, but I'm not stupid. You don't go against Reb Moshe when he knew a million times more than me.
Why is that? Because he lived earlier, or because he was smart?
No, because he's greater. Because he's greater. I want to make something very clear. I'm going to say something very stupid now. If I were around when Reb Moshe was around and I wanted to disagree with Reb Moshe about something, theoretically I had a right. But if Reb Moshe would make a takana and it would be approved by a person led by Reb Moshe, I would not be able to uproot that takana. I could argue, Hill could argue with previous tanoim. That's not a takana. That's an opinion about a matter. Hill is entitled to his own opinion. But if Beza makes a takana, you want to uproot an existing takana, you have to be greater than them. You understand the difference?
Yes.
Reb Moshe argues with Reb Akiva Eiger. Theoretically, I don't know if he does or not. I'll assume he does. But Reb Akiva Eiger didn't make a takana. He paskin based on his understanding. That's not a takana. So Reb Moshe can come along and understand it differently as ever paskin differently. But if Bezin would come in and make a decree, and then Reb Moshe would try to come along and say, well, I disagree with that decree, he would not have the power to do that against Reb Akiva Eiger.
Didn't Hillel act in a way because it was a kind of like a Hirah Shah?
Yeah, but you're not allowed to be Eiger Takana. That's the Ram Shiv's kasha. It's very nice and dandy, but you don't have the power to be Eiger Takana. So the Ram Shiv says he wasn't Eiger at Takana. He left the Takana in place and provided a legal loophole. The guy who doesn't write a prose bowl, his loans get voided. That was a Takana. He didn't touch that Takana. Back to Gemara, next kasha. Now the Gemara is bothered the other way. You're telling me biblically loans don't get voided. So how can Rabbanah come along and void loans? How do they come along and void loans? The loan is not voided. They come along and say, all loans are voided. Before Hillel came along. What was their power? Dr. Gemara, Amar Abaye Sheba Al-Tasuhu. Rabbanah have a right to tell people, do not collect. Do not pay. They have a right to come along. Don't blow shayfar on Shabbos. Don't shake lulav on Shabbos. They say, don't collect loans. Don't pay loans. They can tell you not to act. That's within their purview. And therefore, is that the correct English word? I don't know. That's within their power. And therefore, they came along and they said, biblically, the loan is there, but we're telling you, we don't want you to collect the loan. We're telling the borrower, we don't want you to pay the loan. That's within their power to do. That's not called uprooting a deraisa. Now, Hillel came along and said, yes, you can collect the loan because you can have a legal loophole. Rashi. That means biblically he's stealing. The Rabbanon are empowering him to steal. The answer is Shem Al Taisa. Not going, he's not doing an act. He was told, don't pay your loan. That's in the rabbinic power. You got Shaifer, the Lulav, the Mayam, the Yavamas, Misha Rabbah. We had it in Yavamas in the 10th Perek. The Akira, the Yadayimu, it's not called uprooting with your hands. Rabbah Amar, Rabbah says the question never started. I don't need Rebbe. I can go that biblically there is Shemitah, and the Rabbanan can come along and uproot it. Not because they can uproot a biblical thing, but because Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. When it comes to money, but Rabbanan can move money around, even when biblically it's one way, Rabbanan can come along and take money and give it to somebody else. And therefore, even those, let's say, loans are voided biblically, came along to Rabbanan and said, if you do this, we'll take the money away from A and we'll give it to B. And that's their power to do in monetary things. Now, the Gemara is going to bring two sources for the halacha of Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. Shenema. The first source,
Rabbi,
is yes.
Can I ask a question on Abaye?
Sure.
I don't quite understand how this applies to the creditor who wants his money. Unlike where we don't do lulav and we don't do other things, it's not the creditor's mitzvah that he's not able to do. It's not a Torah mitzvah. He's just simply trying to enforce or would like to enforce a monetary right. That's his right, aside from any mitzvah. Why is this similar, this commandment that he not collect? There's no mitzvah to collect. Why is that similar to not doing lulav on Shabbos, etc., where there is a positive mitzvah and you're not supposed to do it? His business deal was not governed by a positive mitzvah. Now the debtor may have a positive duty to repay, but you could argue that okay, the debtor doesn't have to pay, but that doesn't stop the creditor from chasing him and trying to enforce it. I don't know if I'm asking the question clearly.
No, you're asking very clearly, and you pointed out a very good point. And that is, we can tell a creditor, sorry, we're not letting you collect. And that wouldn't bother the Gemara if Rabbanan came along and told the creditor he can't collect. They just said, we don't want you collecting. We ban you from collecting. That's not going against the biblical law, and there's no problem with that. Even though it seems to be monetarily wrong to the creditor, the rabbis have that right. What bothered the Gemara was, the person who has the money is stealing. He's not paying back a loan. That's stealing. How can the rabbis authorize him to steal? That was the Gemara's question to begin with. We never had a problem that we told the creditor he can't collect. Even though we're taking away his money, we banned him from collecting. We made it a drabonim ban on creditors collecting. It's a very harsh thing for creditors, but we did it. The question was, what right did we have to tell the borrower keep the money he's stealing biblically? How can we tell
him? Abaye's explanation was only on the debtor.
Exactly. The creditor, we didn't have a problem. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Rabbi Amar, Rabbi says, Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. And that works even if Shemitah's biblically. Rabbanan have a right to move money around, even though biblically it belongs to somebody else. Shinema. This is a pasuk in Ezra. He told everybody to show up within 3 days. And he says, whoever doesn't come within 3 days, we will take away all his money. And he'll be separated from the congregation of the exiles who came back. Now, what right does he have to take away everybody's money? The answer is, that's the power of Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. The boys are in Mahalcha. It says, Eilu HaNakhlois, these were the inheritances, Asher Nakhlu Elazar HaKayim V'Yeshua Ben Nun V'Rashi HaAvais. when they split Eretz Yisrael, this is how they did it, done by Elazar, Yeshua, and the Rosh HaYavais. And the question is, what is Rosh HaYavais? Avais are fathers, Rosh are heads. Leimelach, Chimayin and Roshim Eitzel Avais. Should have said Rosh HaMatais, the heads of the Shratim. What's Rosh HaYavais? Leimelach, Ma Avais, Ma Chilim, is B'neim Komash Yirtzum. Fathers bequeath to their kids what they want. They have control over their property till they die to decide who gets what. Avrashim, Manchilim, Asam, Komash, Yirtu, gives Bethlehem to decide whatever money they want to give to people. Rashi. The Trashi, Rabba Amar. La'ilam bein l'rabbanam de pligi ad the Rebbe. Whether it's Rabbanam that argue on Rebbe. Right. Where am I? Right. The Amri Shviyas, Vashmata, Shmitas, Ismanazah, the Raisa, and they say the Shmitas and the Raisa, but Tikkun Hill, the light, the Shamate, and Hill came along against the Raisa, and it says it doesn't cancel loans. Bain, the Rebbe, the Amr Lav, the Raisa, the Amr Rabbanah, the Shamate, and then they came along and said it should be Mishamate, and we had a question, how does that work? Right. Light, Tikshi, don't ask anything. The Medavish of Maman ain't kind of curious David Ben Atayra. There is no uprooting things in the Tayra when it comes to money, but Malkim Shag together, whenever the Rabbanim feel it's necessary to keep things going. The Hefker Bezim, the Maman Hefker. And therefore, the power of money allows them to go even against biblical law. Yachrim Kol Rechushai Ba'anchik Nesas Agdailik Siv. This is written by Anchik Nesas Agdailik. Ma'in Yerushim Eitel Avas. It should have said Rashi Amatois. Why does it say Rashi Amatois? To say that Bezin has a right to take away money from one person and give it to the other person. They had a Shiloh.
Rebbe, I understand. Yes. Why do you have to come on to Hefker Bezin Hefker? Why don't you just say, there's a pasuk in the Torah, I don't know where it's at exactly, but it says that if you have to listen to the Chachamim, right? So the Chachamim say to do something, you midoraisa have to listen to them. If they decide the situation deserves this, that we have to, that Shemitah should not apply, so we have to listen to them. Why do we need the mechanism of Hefker Bezdin Hefker?
Because the Rabbanon are limited in their power. Our question is not why we listen. Our question is what right did the rabbis have to do it?
Because they're Chachamim, that's why.
Excuse me. Chachamim can't come along and violate Torah. They can't just come along and say, hello, don't keep Shabbos this week. Go work on Shabbos. And you have to do it because the Chachamim said you have to do it. Not within their rights. They have no power for that.
Rabbi Kleinman Jr.
Yeah.
Said, I don't know where he got this from, but if the rabbi said it's left is right and right is not left, you have to listen to them, correct?
That's in a shiloh of what the Torah means, not to go against the Torah. Meaning, they're saying right is right and left is left. You happen to know that right is not right and left is not left. So you have to listen to them because they're bad. They're not violating Torah law. They're saying this is Torah law. They just happen to be mistaken.
Rabbi Kleinman's question was not good.
That's not fair, bro.
Senior, not
Roy Clinton,
Senior.
Yeah.
What about Vayav or Mordecai when he was Mevatel Pesach?
That's Shaval Tassav. Rabbanan have a right to come along and tell you not to do a biblical mitzvah. They don't have a right to tell you to violate biblical mitzvahs by action. If Shemitah voids the loan, they can't say, pay. Can't do that. They can say, don't blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah if it comes out on Shabbos. That's their power, Meshev Al Tasa. They have no right, Bekum Vaseh. There's no right to have Bekum Vaseh to tell anybody anything, to go against the Torah. You can't do that. The answer is, by money they have a right. By money they have a right. Yes. Okay. Yeah, you have a question? Ibailo. The Maya is a Shiloh. Ki hiskin hill prosbul adario the tikkun? Adum ludari amanami tikkun. Was this a takana he made only for his generation? Or was he misakin this for all generations? Now, the question is the mind of Kamina. What difference does it make? Meaning, we decided to keep Hill's takana as it goes along. Right? So even if he made it for his generation, right? Even if he made it for his generation, you know, so we can continue it. Dr. Gemara and Avkamina is with the Tule. Can we stop it? Do we have the power to say no more prosbul? E Amret, the Dari who the Tikkun, Vatlinole. If he only made it for his generation, so now we're continuing it. We can decide not to continue it. We're not going against him. He only said it for his generation. We decided to continue it, and then we decided not to continue it. It was never formalized as a takana. It was a takana by Hill for his generation, which gave us a right to continue it, but didn't mandate that we have to continue it. Whereas, however, if he made it for future generations as well, he made a takana forever till Mashiach comes, right? So then, Bezin cannot uproot the words of a different Bezin, only if they're greater with wisdom and in number. They have to have smarter, greater people and more people of the Bezin, which we don't have vis-a-vis Hill. And that's the Shiloh of the Gemara. Do we have a right or not have a right? Dr. Ashi.
If it didn't apply, you don't think Kaddish Baruch Hu's happier if we don't have the Prose Bowl?
Did you talk to Hashem? Did he tell you this? Do you think Hill did something that Hashem wasn't happy with?
I'm saying if we don't... Let's say people started lending no matter what, right?
And forgiving
right.
Wouldn't that be a better Klal Yisrael?
Be wonderful, but we can't uproot a takana. Takana is a takana.
Hillel would be happy about it if we could.
Again, but we don't have that right.
It doesn't matter if we have the right or not. Hillel would say, if I could be living now, I would say, wow, Klal Yisrael's better now than it was ever.
That's Rashi. A little bit too late. We'll see what Rashi says. L'hoishiv bezin i'akshadara. If things got better and they became better people, can we make a bezin shleyu mindem alahalvais? Nobody's going to stop lending anyway. L'vato estakana zil shafu l'kaz l'prosbu yishamish. We don't have a power to uproot something Hill did if he formalized it as a takana. But if he offered it as a temporary solution, then if things improve, we say we don't need that solution anymore. But if he made it a takana, we would not be able to stop a person from collecting. He's relying on Hill, who's much greater. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.
Tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Rip.